Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Jeremiah 14 and verse number 1. Let's just go back to verse number 1. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth, Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black under the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded, and covered their heads, because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed, they covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field, and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail because there was no grass. Verse number 7 tells us why the condition of the land was that way. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. Now, Father, I need your help once again tonight. I pray, God, that you'd use us and touch us. I pray, God, that you would touch us mentally and physically and spiritually tonight. I pray, God, that you get glory and honor out of everything that's said tonight. I pray, God, that you'd put a bridle about our mouth. Help us to say nothing, God, that you wouldn't want us to say. And God, help us to utter only the words, God, that you'd want us to preach tonight. I pray, God, that you'd give us clarity of speech tonight, God. Just meet the need as only you can. Help our church tonight, God, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. You know, I want to look into these verses, and I preach simply on the subject of backsliding this morning. I want to pick back up on that again for a little while tonight. Here in chapter number 14, as I've already read to you, there is a major drought and a famine that is going on in the country there. We see that. We read where the ground is chapped, or the ground has cracked open is simply what that means, and how the country is in dire need of God helping them. I said this morning that our country is in the same condition when it comes spiritually. I understand that if we look at the water supply, the ground is saturated outside tonight. But we're not talking about the ground outside. We're talking about the ground inside the house of God tonight. We said this morning, and I probably should have pulled all that and read it tonight, but I just didn't for the sake of time. But we dealt with how so many churches this past year, has experienced a famine, and how many of them has closed their doors right here in America. Can I just say this to you tonight, church? We're one decision away from being in the same boat. We better not get on a high horse and say that would never happen to our church. Our church would never be that way. By the grace of God, our church will never be that way. But the only way that we will keep from that is if God once again stirs our heart and stirs our soul and gives us revival again. We are in a drought. You say, well, preacher, I don't think we're in a drought. Well, when was the last time we saw somebody get saved, walk the aisles of our church and get saved in our church? I consider it a drought when we go a while and don't see nobody saved. I consider it surrender to drought, when we go a while and don't see nobody, surrender the call to preach. Yeah, man, you say, well, preacher, you really think we need to have preachers called out of the church? Well, absolutely we do. You want me to tell you the reason that you can know if a church is alive is if it's reproducing. Amen tonight? If it's reproducing, what does the preacher do that is sent out of our church? He reproduces. Amen. I thought about this. Boy, we need God to stir us one more time. We began thinking about backsliding and talking about backsliding and looking at different things about backsliding. We come to this conclusion that backsliding is simply one thing. It's sin tonight. That's what it is. We can water it down and say this or say that, but in all honesty, backsliding is sin tonight. This verse tells us about it. We've seen this morning, the disgrace of sin. Our iniquities testify against us. I remember Daddy used to say this years ago. He said, you be sure your sins will find you out. You be sure your sins will find you out. Mama used to say this. I'd go to pick up Miss Leslie and take her courting, and she would say this. You just remember there's an all-seeing eye watching you. I may not be there, but there's an all-seeing eye watching you. Now have a good night. You know what they were saying? God is watching us, and sin will be exposed. Yeah, man, preacher. Now, let me just say this. I said it this morning. Let me say it again. I'm going to preach till I get done so you can help me and we'll get done faster. Sin will be exposed. I've thought so many times, there's one thing that I cannot stand. If there's one thing that absolutely I cannot stand, and that's a liar. I just assume for you to take your fist and punch me in the side of the head as to lie to me. Yeah, man, I can't stand a liar. I've told my children, if you ever lie, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have to tell another one to cover up for the one that you just told. And then you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to tell another one. And you're going to have to tell another one. And before you know it, you become an habitual liar and believe your own lies. Sin will be exposed. Think about the life of David. David done everything he knew to do to keep his sin from being exposed. But when Nathan showed up on the scene, he looked at him and said, thou art the man. Sooner or later, it'll come out. You say, well, preacher, I've done things in my life. They don't nobody know about it. And it's never come out. Look up in here and listen to me. There's coming a day that you're going to stand in the presence of a holy God. So we've seen this morning, the disgrace of sin. We've seen this, the diversity of sin. Our backslidings are many in this verse. The diversity of sin. I want to say this to you tonight, and I'm not going to really hit it hard like I did this morning, but sin is still sin today. Sin is still sin today. I just come to this conclusion. God said this, for I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. If it was sin 20 years ago, it's sin today. I thought about this. We saw the disgrace of sin, the diversity of sin, but we saw the dishonor of sin. What did the Bible say? We have sinned against thee. Well, who is the thee? Well, if we look back in the beginning of verse number 7, we see, O Lord, the disgrace of sin. The disgrace of sin. Now, my girls don't get in trouble a lot, but they do every once in a while. And I was talking to Miss Jasmine the other day, and she had a picture of Brother Chris. And he had Sadie up on the platform, and she said, if you're the preacher's kid, you better be ready to be used for an illustration at any given moment. Boy, that's the truth. My kids don't give a lot of trouble, but they give some. They're as mischievous as anybody else is. They can get in trouble as quick as anybody else is. They're not perfect. Madeline may go get drunk tonight, but she better sober up before she comes home. And she better be home by 9 o'clock. So she better drink a lot of coffee. I understand they can. But here's what I've told my children in times that we've had to correct them. I'll look at them, and I told one of them this just the other day. They apologized to me for something, and they should have. But I looked at them, and here's what I said. You can apologize to me all you want to. I mean, it's about the time of voice I said it in. And I did have my finger up like this too. I said, but what you need to do is you need to go somewhere and get along with God. And you need to apologize to God. And you need to get your heart back right with God. Somebody say amen right there. It's a disgrace to fall into sin. You say, well, preacher, it's just a little sin. Hear me and hear me well. Sin is sin today. It's sin. So we saw the disgrace of sin. Then we began to look at this. We looked at the means to backsliding. And I just want to say this, and then I'm headed one place right here and I'll be done. The means to backsliding. I know I said this morning, and I'm going to say it again tonight. The person that is backslid just didn't wake up one morning and go, I'm going to backslide today. I'm going to quit reading my Bible today. I'm not going to pray no more. I'm going to cheat on my wife. And let me just say something. You don't have to cheat on your wife to be a backslider. You can be sitting in a church pew teaching a Sunday school class, singing in a church choir, and we do have one of them, and it's fixing to go back up. Singing in a church choir, going to prayer room. Thank God for prayer room tonight, but going to prayer room and still not be right with God. What leads a person to do that? It's gradual. One morning they wake up too late. That's easy to do. And they don't pray the way that they need to that morning. And they don't spend that long time with God the way that they needed to that morning. And they don't say, Lord, today, you ought to pray this every day. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And they don't prepare their heart for that day. And then all of a sudden, the evil day comes upon them. And because they didn't take time with God like they should have, before they know it. You know what? I don't believe that David woke up that morning that he messed up with Bathsheba. I don't believe that David woke up that morning. Well, we know he didn't wake up that morning because he didn't get out of the bed to the day, till on up in the day when you read that. But I don't think that when David went to bed the night before, he went to bed. And I might be wrong, but I really don't think he went to bed the night before going, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to have an affair with Bathsheba, and then I'm going to send a death notice to her husband on the battlefield and have him killed and try to cover it all up. But let me tell you what happened to David. He found himself in the wrong place at the wrong time. His relationship with God wasn't right, and David went down the wrong road. There's a lot of preachers that's messed their life up because they found themselves in the wrong place at the wrong time. And instead of looking for the door out of temptation, because God said He would always make a way of escape. What leads to it? The means of backsliding. It begins slowly. There's a misplaced love. There's a misspent time. But here's what I really want to look at tonight in backsliding, and probably even slow down a little bit and talk to you more than preach, just wide open tonight. The manifestation of backsliding. What does backsliding look like? You ever thought about that? You ever... I've the word backslide or backslidden or backslider is not uncommon in mine and Leslie's conversation. Sometimes Miss Leslie usually has, now I've just been open with you all day, so I'm going to continue to be tonight. Usually Miss Leslie has more of a heart of compassion. And Miss Leslie will start the conversation off with something. Well, you know what? I'm worried. I'm going to pick on Haley, okay? I'm worried a little bit about Haley. you know, she just hadn't been coming like she once did, and she just don't seem to have the joy that she once had. And, you know, Haley, I'm just a little bit worried about her. And usually the next thought is for me, and it's something like, she just backslid and they get right with God. She's cold and indifferent, out of God's will, and she just needs, do you need to get right tonight? Oh, God bless this emptiness tonight. So backsliding is not an uncommon term around our house. But I will say this, it is an uncommon term nowadays. I said this morning, we used to hear preaching on backsliders, but we don't hear it no more. So what does a backslider look like? What is the manifestations of backsliding? Let me show you a couple of things. Number one, can I say this to you tonight? Unhappy in their service. They become unhappy in their service. You that's here tonight that's ever pastored before, and I know a few of you have, but have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, well, you know what, I'm not going to be able to make it a visitation this Saturday. And you say, well, man, I hate to hear that. Why not? Well, I'm just not happy in doing that no more. How can you not be happy in trying to get somebody to church? Well, preacher, I understand that there's times that we need to come out of it. I understand that there's times that different things happen. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of times the reason that people quit serving God is because they're backslidden. Preacher, I just don't enjoy teaching my Sunday school class anymore. So I just need to come out. There's just no joy in it. Everybody all right tonight? There's just no joy in it anymore. Can I say something to you? There's never been a time that I picked up my Bible and read it and got up and taught or got up and preached that it didn't bring joy in my heart. That's the reason I do it, because He called me, and it's a joy to do it. They become unhappy in their service. Here real soon, this statement's going to be made. All right, choir, make your way on up. And you know what? Here's the way some sing in the choir. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face. And because everybody else does, they'll throw the one by His grace. There's some preachers get up to preach, and today people is unhappy in a service. A man loses his appetite for the things of God. The things of God become boring to a backslider. And that's all that, I mean, it's just... you want me to tell you the reason so many churches are ice boxes? Because they got a polar bear in the pulpit. I'm just being real with you. They got a polar bear in the pulpit. I was thinking about this. I like singing. I like hearing singing. I like playing instruments. And on Thursday night, some of us gets together and plays music a little bit. And we was playing this past Thursday night. And man, I was tapping my foot. And I didn't know what chord I was in half the time, Brother Matt. I was having a big old time. And I looked over at two or three others, and it's about the same way. Oh, we was happy in doing it. I thought, man, when it comes to the things of God, we ought to be happy in doing it. When we sing, we ought to be happy in doing it. When we're reading our Bible, we ought to be happy in doing it. When we're listening to the preacher preach, we ought to be happy in doing it. You ought to know, if you backslid, you become unhappy in the service of God. I said I was just going to talk, Miss Bethany, didn't I? They become unhappy. Hey, look up in here. Sunday school teachers, Wednesday school teachers. You tell you what you ought to do when you teach your class. Right. Let me tell you what you ought to do. You ought to teach it with all of your might. Sure. Yes, sir. Sure. There has been times that I have had to go to rooms and go, y'all need to quieten down just a little bit.
You say, did that make you mad? No, actually, I was excited about going to the room and telling them the question. Let me tell you the reason why. It meant somebody was in there that was happy about the service of God. Manifestations of being backslidden. They become unhappy in their service. I thought about this. The most miserable, meanest people that I've ever met is people that's saved and out of God's will. I can take you to a place right now and I'd never take you. I'd never call no names. I'd never even say where it was at. But I can take you to a house right now and take you in and introduce you to an individual that knows the Word of God from front to back and back to front and middle to the end and middle to the other end, knows it inside and out and outside and in. I'm telling you, they're as educated and as learned in the Scripture as anybody I've ever met in my life. But there was a time that they missed God's will in their life. God would still forgive them. God would still use them, but they become unhappy. They become a backslide. What is it manifested by? They're unhappy in their service. Number two tonight. What is a manifestation of backsliding? I would say this: they become unembarrassed about sin. They become unembarrassed about sin. There used to be a time that sin bothered people. There used to be a time that sin bothered people. There used to be a time that shacking up bothered people. There used to be a time that fornication bothered people. There used to be a time that adultery bothered people. There used to be a time that it bothered a lady not to dress like a lady and carry herself like a lady. There used to be a time. Used to be. And let me tell you what happens. I'm not saying people's not saved, but I'm saying this. They're not right with God. The Bible... I'm just going to preach till I get done, okay? Might be the last one I'll preach here, but I'm going to preach till I get done. I'm going to tell you something. It's still in the Bible for a lady to adorn herself in modest apparel. In modest apparel. You say, well, preacher, that's just old fashioned. Okay? So what's your point? It's not old-fashioned. Here's your term, biblical. Biblical. That's what it is. It's biblical. I've always been of the opinion, if it wasn't for sale, don't advertise it. If I wanted to sell the old brown mule down there, I'd wash it and armor all the tires and set it out at the road, Brother Randy. But no, it's not advertised. It's not for sale. Let me tell you something, young ladies and ladies ought to adorn themselves in modest apparel. They sometimes, I'm embarrassed, even at the church house. They're unashamed about sin anymore. It don't bother them. They can live any old way, do any old way, act any old way, and nothing ever, hear me and hear me well. If you can live any old way, do any old way, act any old way, dress any old way, listen to any old thing, act any old way, and God does not rebuke you, you're not His. They become unembarrassed about sin. Sin or Satan attempts to intimidate us with sin three ways. I thought about this. He disguises its appearance. Disguises its appearance. He debates its acceptability. He'll cause you to debate that in your mind. Oh, well, it's all right because I've heard this statement from young preachers. It's all right because brother such and such, I seen them do it. I seen brother such and such do it. Here's what brother Stroud told me last year when he preached for us. We was talking and that Monday night we ended up staying up late and talking. And here's what he said. He said, if anything I do with a young preacher don't lead him closer to God, then I'm missing it. It's not my responsibility to lead a young preacher further away from God, but closer to God. And Satan, with sin, will cause you to debate it in your mind whether or not it's right. You know what? I love my daddy. I appreciate him. He stood for what was right for over 40 years. He's carried a black-back King James Scofield Bible and preached with the power of God for over 40 years. But if he changes Bibles tomorrow, if he drops his dress standard tomorrow behind the pulpit, we'll drop him as a missionary in our church. I'll still love him. I'll still be there for him. But by the grace of God, I'll continue in the way I was brought up. It don't matter if ever Tom, Dick, and Harry is going another way. God help us to stay with the Satan will cause you to debate it in your mind. Well, you know what? I seen that group up singing and they're supposed to be of God, and then they posted this with this and this and this kind of music in it. Debate its acceptability. I thought about this. Satan attempts to do this. Divert its accountability. Divert its accountability. I'm going to tell you something tonight. We're still accountable to God. We'll stand before Him one day. Well, what is sin manifested as? It's manifested in an unhappy in our service. Backslidden is. Unembarrassed about sin. Can I say this? Let me move on. I got a couple more and I'll be done. Unforgiveness towards saints. Unforgiveness towards saints. Well, my mind, I know I went over this a little bit this morning, but we're gonna go ahead and back up and get it again tonight. You just don't know what they done to me. You just don't know. Let me tell you how to know if you're bitter. I'm going to preach on bitterness hopefully during this month some. Let me tell you how to know if you're bitter. When you see somebody, if it causes your blood pressure to go up. You're bitter. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I forgive them. Bless God, I ain't forgetting it. Watch this. I forgive them. And it'll always be hard for me to forget it because I'm flesh. But with the grace of God, we're going on down the road. I just said the same thing in two different manners. One of them was in a form of bitterness. The other one was in a form of forgetfulness and with the help of God, forgiveness. Forgiveness. You know, I love Brother Aaron sitting back there, and this past year, God allowed us to become closer than we've ever been. He was just one of those that really stepped up this last year, him and Miss Bethany, and done a lot of things behind the scene that a lot of people didn't see. And you know what? I love Brother Aaron. But somewhere along the way, he'll probably do something to discourage me. Somewhere along the way, Brother Aaron, I'll do something, if I hadn't already, that'll discourage you. That you'll think, well, you know, I just don't know about that. I may say something, and even in a picking manner, and the devil twists that up in your mind. And you know what's happened so many times? People's got out of church. The preachers went to him and said, is everything all right? Oh, yeah, everything's fine. You know what? I got a problem with somebody when I say to you, is there a problem with me? Have you got a problem? No, I don't have no problem with you. And they still avoid you like the plague. Either you lied or my right guard's done turned left. One of the two. Somebody give me a witness this evening. Is that not the truth? There's unforgiveness towards the saints when we're backslidden. There's unforgiveness. Hey, look up in here. If you're saved, say amen. Amen. If you're not, you need to come get saved. But if you just said amen, let me tell you something. You might as well get used to me. You're going to live with me forever. You might as well learn how to get along with me. Here's the problem. They get upset at one church, so they go to the next church. And they get down at the next church, and you know what? For about a year, year and a half, 2 years, everything's great. Man, they're on the honeymoon. And all of a sudden, the preacher gets up and preaches on backsliding. And you know what happens, Brother Jeff? They go on to the next one. And they're there for about a year and a half or 2 years, and you know what happens, Brother Matt? They go on to the next one. Somebody says something. I had one leave here. They come for a little while. Leslie and I went and seen them, sat down and had a talk with them. They opened the Bible. Can I touch your Bible? Okay, he said it was mine. Oh, I know which Bible that is. That's an original Cambridge Cameo. Catch that note. Original Cambridge Cameo, wide margin. They don't make that Bible no more. That's a high dollar Bible. I preached out of it for a while. I'm going to preach out a little bit again tonight. And then I give it to Brother Robert. They opened the back of their Bible. And in the back of their Bible, they had wrote down, God's not looking for people who can, but people who will. Hey, I got some good things wrote in the back of this. In the back of their Bible, that was one of them ADD moments, they had wrote down every church they had been to and left. And the reason they left was because they didn't get used in the music ministry to the best of their abilities. I made this statement. I looked straight at them and I said, we got people in ours. You come get faithful and prove yourself. We might use you one day. Well, you know what? I bet if you went in that old feller's Bible today and whipped over to the back of it, there'd be one that said, Amazing Grace Baptist Church, Pastor Jonathan Barker. That is the gospel, what I just told you. That's the truth. You say, preacher, what do you say? Unforgiveness towards saints. Unforgiveness towards saints. Look around in here tonight. If there's anybody in here that you've got aught with, you're backslid. You're backslid. And let me tell you the reason that we might not be seeing souls saved is because you're not right with God. Look at this. They become unfaithful in their stewardship. They become unfaithful in their stewardship. You know what? I promise you, I'm about done. I've had this statement made to me from people that has got discouraged and got out of church and then back in church and back in faithful. But I've heard this, I've had this statement made to me. One of the first things we done was quit tithing. One of the first, they're unfaithful. And they're, if you're unfaithful in your stewardship, you're backslid. God calls him a robber. Said, preacher, there's no way I'd take money out of that offering plate. Well, if you didn't put your 10% in for it, well, we didn't have church last Sunday. Well, that don't change. We still tithe. We wrote two checks. Let me back up and rephrase that. Leslie wrote two checks. One was already wrote for last week. She put it in and one for this week. Here it is. Manifestation of backsliders. They become unconcerned about souls. They become unconcerned. Unconcerned. I want to ask you a question. How long has it been since you give somebody a gospel tract? How long has it been since you looked at somebody and said, hey, you was to die today, where would you spend eternity? See, preacher, I just have a hard time talking to people. You know, we can talk to them about guns. And we can talk to them about fishing. And we can talk to them about rods and reels. And we can talk to them about... Y'all can talk to them about pocketbooks and shopping. But when it comes to talking to them about the Lord, well, all of a sudden the cats crawled up and grabbed their tongue, and we're not comfortable talking to them no more. Unconcerned about souls. When we are unconcerned about souls, church, we're backslidden. If you go out this way right here and right back there, there is a track holder. Put it there just simply because there's more room going out that way. There's not much room in this foyer. I'm praying earnestly about a foyer that we'll have more room in, and an auditorium that we'll have more room in. And before it gets out to anybody else, I'll just go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. Next week, me and Colt Simmons is going to look at auditoriums and begin putting our heads together on how we would build one day, to get some drawings down, to have something to pray over like we did our Sunday school wing. But one thing that I've noticed, and I've intentionally not put none in it, but for several weeks, it stayed the same way. There's not tracks put out nowhere else for anybody to pick up. But preacher, it's COVID. I know. But church people's going to hell. Well, you know, I can't give them a gospel tract through the drive-through window no more, because they just give you food through the drive-through window. Hello, Tokyo. They still picking up beer cans and beer cases down at Walmart. We become unconcerned. Come start playing, Madeline. We become unconcerned about souls. Listen to what he said. The word of the Lord that came unto Jeremiah concerning the dearth, the drought, the famine. Why did they have that? Why had it got to a place where, listen to this, and their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters, they came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. They sent their little ones to get water, and they couldn't find none. I wonder if we sent our little ones to the house of God to find water in these days, if they'd find any. I dare say there's a lot of churches today that they wouldn't. They've allowed different things to cause them to not be on fire no more, to not do this and to not do that. Let me tell you the reason we got to have revival. Are you hearing the preacher tonight? Let me tell you the reason we got to have revival in our church. It's not to build a new nice auditorium over there. I'd love to see that happen, and I really believe in all of my heart in days to come, and probably sooner than later, God will allow us to see that one day. I really believe that. I told the men in prayer room tonight, I told God last night out there praying, I don't want to see it so we can say, look what we done at our church. I want to see it for the glory of a holy God. That's the reason I want to see it. I want to see God do it. I want to see God do it. I want the people in this community, in this county, to know that there's still a God on the throne. There's still a church that believes right and walks right and tries to live right. That God's still blessing the old time way. Let me tell you the reason we got to have it. It's not for that. Let me tell you the reason we got to have it. It's not necessarily for me. I've seen enough of the glory that I'm going to be all right. I'm 42 years old. I've practically lived all 42 years of my life in the glory. I've seen enough of the glory, but I'll be all right. But let me tell you the reason we got to have it. Let me tell you the reason we got to have revival. Let me tell you the reason we got to have water. Let me tell you the reason we've got to get away from backsliding. See Natalie sitting right there. See Colt right back there. See little Graylin back there. See these little girls sitting up here on the front. My girls that sung tonight, these teenagers sitting around here. These little boys sitting back here. That's the reason we got to have it, church. That's the reason we got to keep our heart right. That's the reason we can't backslide. That's the reason we can't quit. That's the reason, Brother Stan, we can't throw in the towel. That's the reason we got to keep teaching. That's the reason we got to keep preaching. That's the reason we got to keep singing. That's the reason we got to keep begging God to move in our midst one more time and send revival one more time. That's why. That's why. That's why. All around us, there's people dying and going to hell. And while we sit back in our comfort zone, Dr. Howe said this years ago, he said, when you're at 80% of your capacity, on Sunday mornings, you need to start getting ready to build. You know what? It'd be a whole lot easier, Brother Matt, to sit here in our comfort zone with everything paid for and everything just fine. It'd be easier to do that. Be easier just to continue to support the missionaries we've got and not put no more emphasis on missions and just do enough to feel good. Complacency is backslidden. Let me tell you the reason we got to keep going, Brother Aaron. It's because there's a generation coming behind us, son. There's a little baby coming behind us right there. They got to have God. They got to have a move of God. They got to know what the glory of God is. They've got to have revival. Oh, they've got to have a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. They got to have it. I ask you this question in closing. I want you to think about nobody but you. Are you backslidden? And if you are, you're to find your place in an altar tonight and say, as David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. If for somebody you've got aught with, I'm not telling you to wait after church. When I say let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you're to make a beeline to them. You're to make it right tonight. Swallow your pride. Somebody say amen right there. Swallow your pride and get it right. Could be the key. Could be the key to us seeing the biggest move of God we've ever saw in our church. Boy, I walked down there yesterday. The girls, we'd been busting wood and the girl said, Popo's got trails. I said, okay, we take her out of her little fence area. She got one of them invisible fences and Olivia put her on the golf cart and ride around. We was busting wood and they said she run off down through the woods. I said, well, she went down there to the river to play in the water. I guarantee you that's what she done. How do we get down there? And I said, well, just come on, we'll go for a walk. And I had a pair of Crocs on and it's straight off the hill back there. We went in from up here. You know what I'm saying? You've been down, Brother Dakota, you've been down. It's straight off, Brother Kevin, down in there. And I slid down there. I made it. I walked over. I walked over on that old rock. Looks out over the river. I looked at the girls and I said, boy, we sure have met with God right here a lot. The reason we're where we're at today It's because in my early days, me and old Jake Easter, Scotty Bullins, Josh Jenkins, and Chris Danley, Sunday morning before the sun would ever come up, we'd walk off that hill. We'd lay down there on that rock and pray and beg God to do something. Church, we got to have it again. We got to get our hearts right. We've got to have it again. It's up to us. God will do it. God's not changed. God's not went nowhere. If we're in drought, it's our fault, not His fault.